And all of God's people said, Amen. Wow, what a beautiful hymn by none other than the great Martin Luther, the great reformer. That's the first time I ever heard that. What a blessing. I would like you to open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 9. Be sure to take out your outline so you can follow along. Isaiah chapter 9. I want to again wish you Merry Christmas. I know sometimes it may not feel like it. We don't see the white stuff on the ground. Been a strange year in a lot of different ways. But this is the time that we have set aside to celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to begin the work of redemption. And above all people in this world, we as Christians should be very much in deep thought and meditation during this time of the year, always keeping the message of His coming central and in the forefront and clear. May we not be guilty of allowing the distractions of the world, of the season, of the time, of the holiday, to keep us from every year taking the opportunity to meditate freshly and deeply the significance of this particular child that came 2,000 years ago, that came for sinners. You should be in Isaiah 9. We're going to look at one verse. And some of you will look at that, and you know my tendency to break down things. I can make a method out of several things here. But I did want to zero in on the front end of the verse, but let's read the whole verse, pray and add God's blessing upon our time together. For unto us the child is born, unto us the son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would be with us this morning in a powerful and unique and distinct way. Use your word and may the Spirit of God press it profoundly and deeply upon our hearts. Father, we have a tendency to allow this method in the time of the year to breed contempt, knowing the old familiar saying, familiarity breeds contempt. And Lord, may we not be guilty of that. This is the greatest message, news to every person that has ever come upon this planet. And yet, the majority of them reject it, ignore it, suppress it, resist it. But yet, God, by your grace, you have touched some of us to embrace it wholeheartedly. May we relish in it, enjoy it, ponder much on it, and never, ever lose the wonder and the awe of it. So, Father, be with us that we gather together for this Christmas message. Speak powerfully through your word. We add these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're like me, I always look at the outline to see where we're going to go as a map, so to speak. So, you know, I'm going to just kind of be on the front end of this verse. This verse actually had been on my heart and mind for years, and I am finally felt the need and compelled to preach this wonderful method that we have in the front end of this prophecy. Isaiah here is giving the prophetic method of the Messiah to come. And he framed it by first of all, in our first point, a child is born. Here it speaks to the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It addressed Jesus as a child in his human nature. He had born of the Virgin Mary, a child, a human in every way like we are, except without sin. Even earlier, Isaiah said in chapter 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Clearly we see that this speaks of the human nature of Jesus Christ. Even when the angel was talking to Joseph, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, he explained what Isaiah was saying in 7:14 by saying, behold, the virgin shall be with the child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And the Bible said, how is that going to happen? In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born shall be called the Son of God. So we talk about a birth, a human birth, shall be born, will be born. Here is the mystery of the virgin conception / birth of Jesus Christ. Why do people find this incredible? Too hard to believe or not possible? If God can bring the entire universe and all that it contains into existence from nothing by merely speaking the word, then why can't this same all-powerful God not have a young virgin girl become pregnant without the aid of a man? Even Mary, when she was informed that she was going to be pregnant, she responded by saying, how can it be since I do not know a man? Now, not everybody understands what that means, though the ESV does it real well. How can it be since I'm a virgin? I have never had a sexual relationship with a man ever. How can that be? And even later, as the angel continued to talk to Mary, he mentioned to Mary about her cousin Elizabeth, who was also pregnant, and said, basically, you have Mary, a virgin, Elizabeth, too old for childbearing. And the angel said this when she was struck by all of this, for nothing will be impossible with God. Luke 1, verse 37. Here in this aspect, when it talked about a child born, Jesus was certainly a human, like any other person that had ever lived on the face of the earth. This is the fact. This is a historical fact that Jesus was born into this world. Jesus, the Son of God, became man, was born at Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid in a manger. People can and do deny this fact, just like atheists deny the existence of God. An unbeliever can argue the truth of the birth of this child, Jesus Christ, but it doesn't negate the reality of it. They argue and deny the reality of the birth of Christ because of the significance and the importance of his birth in their life. Folks, we've been blessed with children coming into our church family. We got another one coming on the way. And that's an exciting thing. But none of them, as precious as they are, were ever foretold and prophesied to be a special agent of God for his redemptive purposes. Jesus, on the other hand, in Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 9:6, it was over 725 years before he was born. They were prophesying that he is coming into this world and he's going to be born a child. And yet when Isaiah not only declared that he would about his birth, he declared the importance of his coming. He was born into our world. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Even Paul, when he was explaining about the coming of Christ in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, He said that he made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man. So we have here, point number one, right from the get-go, a child is born, coming into the world as a human in human form. Point number two, let's look at the verse again. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Entirely different look at this verse. Here Jesus is seen as the eternal Son given, not made, given. Begotten of the Father, begotten, not created. Being of the same substance and nature with the Father, the second member of the Godhead, it speaks of a divine nature. Even Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says it so eloquently in such few words. For in him, Christ, dwell, listen carefully, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let me read it again. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That was in Jesus Christ. How can that be? A mystery. Our mind, our finite mind can't grasp that. One commentator, while I was reading and studying, said, for us to understand God and all of his incomprehensibleness, it's like a gnat trying to drink the entire ocean. Kind of a difficult challenge. Now, we don't like to compare ourselves that small, but it's actually, the gnat would drink it up before we would fully understand God. But here, he is a son given. A son given freely from the Father. Clearly we see that in the most popular and most famous verse in all of Scripture. Even lots of people know the John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his son. For John 4, verse 10, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son. As we see in Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. How much more freely can he give than from his love? This destroyed any idea of God having to do this by any compulsion or motive, but setting his love on sinners. Why was this child born? Why was this son given? Why, our text tells us the answer. Let's read it again. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Did you see it? For unto us, not them, us. Here we see it, for unto us this child was born, unto us this son was given. Not as his crowning work on the creation week when God created man in his image, but unto us as sinners, unto us that rebels against the Creator and his created purpose. Oh, beloved, Jesus was born for sinners. The Father gave his Son to us to save us and to redeem us. In our fallen and natural state, we are lost, the Bible said. We are condemned, enemies of God, haters of God. We resist, reject, and suppress the truth of our need for forgiveness. We are guilty of every sinful thought, motive, word, and action we have ever committed. Guilty, guilty, guilty on every point and every case. Jeremiah said it this way. He paints such an eloquent picture of the human heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the hearts. I test the mind. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. This is what God knows of us, beloved. Yet, we often deny it or self-deceive into our innocence. Yet God knows our every thought and deed, and instead of instant deserved judgment, He gives us His Son. This is Christmas. Let's keep all of the spiritual realities in place in the forefront of our mind. We got the world, all they think about it, the here and now, and they think they're the sovereign ones in control. Let's not remember what Psalm 2 said, and he in the heavens shall laugh. But yet, even in that rebellion, God knowing our thoughts, and instead of giving us what we deserve, He gives us His Son. Oh, beloved, Christmas is about a child who was born and a son who was given for us sinful creatures to find redemption and forgiveness in Him. As you go throughout Scripture and continue to look and to see how God viewed man in his natural state, Jeremiah 16, verse 12 says it this way, "And you have done worse than your father, for behold, each of you followed the dictate of his own evil heart." Why? "So that you, no one, listen to me." Genesis 6, 5, "And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." The book of Job said 15, verse 16, "How much less man, who is an abominable and filthy, who drinks iniquity like water." Psalm 53, verse 2 and 3, "God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them had turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one." Ecclesiastes 9, verse 3, "Truly the heart of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their heart while they live." Mark chapter 7, verse 21 and 2, our Lord Jesus said these very words, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. It is from the human heart that these things come, not from external forces, not from chemical imbalances in the synapses of the brain. It comes from the human heart. That is broken, that is sinful, that is selfish, that is self-focused. It is all about me, not God. The created, not the creator. And yet, instead of judging us, He gives us His Son. He gives us His Son. Amazing love. How about Isaiah 53? Verse 5 and 6. "But He," Jesus, "was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." Why? Why did He need to do that for us? Next verse. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one his own way, and the Lord had laid on Him the iniquity of us all." A child was born, a son was given, that we may have forgiveness of our sins, beloved. Listen to the angels regarding the reason why this child was born and this son was given. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Why? "For he shall save his people from their sin." How about the angel to the shepherd? Luke chapter 2, verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." There is a very good and popular Christmas card. Many of you probably received a copy of this card. I've always appreciated its thrust. It goes like this: if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need with forgiveness, to God sent us a Savior. Amen. Here lies the message of Isaiah 9:6. A child is born. A child is born. A son is given unto us, unto us, unto us. Let me go back to John 3:16 again and put it in its context. In the light of where we're at, unto us, John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why did he send his son? Verse 17. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen? This child, this son that was given, but to do just that. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all? How about 1 John 4:10? I already said that, but I only read the first half of the verse. Let me read the verse in its entirety so you can get the connection here. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son. Why? To be the propitiation for our sins. I did the same thing with Philippians chapter 2. I gave you the front end, but not the latter part. And coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of the man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Oh, beloved, we were lost without hope, but now because of this child, we are found and given a living hope. We were sinners and we were enemies. Now because of this son, we are reconciled with God. In Romans 5 verse 10, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What do you mean? Christmas is about reconciliation and rescue, that enemy of God? Away with such negativity. I like what Christopher Ashe said in his book on some Christmas devotions. He said this, quote, "No," said Christmas movie, Christmas decoration, the Christmas songs playing at the shopping mall. No, Christmas is all about goodwill and peace and everybody being nice to one another. Christmas is about friendship and neighborliness, family cheer and kissing under the mistletoe. It had nothing to do with enmity. Don't spoil Christmas by talking about hatred. And yet, beloved, we are guilty of domesticating Christmas. We are guilty of divorcing Christmas from his message. We may not say that, but in our practice, in the amount of time we put toward the thinking and reflecting and allowing it to saturate our soul, the message of Christmas, it can be improved. We have allowed man-made traditions and insertions into the Christmas season to eclipse the glory of the coming of this child and the coming of this son for our eternal salvation. We are guilty, and now we are justified and declared not guilty, all because of this child, this son, this child that was born, this son that was given. Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatever the law said, it said to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Nobody is exempt. A couple verses later in verses 23 and 4. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our justification is only made possible through this child that was born, through this son that was given. The Bible makes it clear that God had rejected man because of his sin and rebellion against him. But now we are accepted in the Beloved. The Bible said when we were lost, Satan was our father, but now God is our heavenly Father. We were called the sons of disobedience, Colossians 3 verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. But now because of this child being born and this son, it's given to us, we are the sons of God. Galatians 3:26, for you are all sons of God. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. John 1:12, but as many had received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. So Christmas, beloved, is all about a child that was born, a son that was given to us for salvation. Have you come to believe in Jesus Christ? Have you humbled yourself to confess your sin to God and by faith look to Jesus' finished and perfect sacrifice on the cross for sinners? You know, I may not know everything about you, but I know everyone who ever comes through these doors and every one of you that are here, including me, I know one thing for certain. You're all sinners. Every one of us are. So this child was given to us. This son was given to us. That we, to look to him, to see him as our only hope for forgiveness and cleansing. But Pastor, I do not think I'm as bad as you say I am. Respectfully, it really doesn't matter what you think or feel. It's what God has said in his word, that the whole world will be guilty before God. Every one of us are guilty and remain guilty until we take that son and that child to be ours by faith and faith alone. It does not matter what your family or your friends think or what your classmate, teammate, co-workers, and neighbors think of you. It matters only what God rightly thinks of you. It is him that we all stand before at the end of our lives here on earth. Oh, come and look to this child. Come and look to this son that was given for the true meaning and purpose of Christmas. Oh, beloved, I urge you, if you're here this morning and don't know Christ, there's a child that was born so you can be forgiven. There was a son given that you can experience cleansing and forgiveness and reconciliation with God. But it's only made possible through him. Jesus said it clear, no man come to the Father except through me. Even Luke in the book of Acts chapter 4 said there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is Christ and Christ alone. Beloved, that is the meaning of Christmas. Let's keep it crystal clear, front and center, in the forefront of our hearts and minds. And may that message never loses its glory. Don't sentimentalize it. Don't domesticate it. Don't get tired of it. If you get tired of it, there's something wrong with your heart, not the message. Something wrong with your perception. You forgot where you come from and what happened. We were lost. That's why I went down talking about our former estate versus our condition now to those of us who had looked to this child, to this son. And all I can say, may God's people say, Father, thank you for Christmas and its meaning, its message. Thank you for freely giving us your son. And we know clearly from your word that you gave it out of love. Oh, Lord, thank you. May we never forget the preciousness, the sweetness, the glory of Christmas. May we honor and glorify you and not be afraid to share it with others. And even wishing everybody a Merry Christmas. Oh Lord, help us to honor you. And Lord, if there's any here, may they realize their only hope to get out of the guilty state and condition they're in and to be forgiven is through this child. It is through this Son, Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.